Forget Mr. Potato Head. Dr. Seuss has now drawn the focus of the left-wing cancel culture. The governor of Texas says the state will be fully reopening and the mask mandate will come to an end. Plus, believe it or not, your three-month-old baby could be a racist. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday. I hope you're having a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Dr. Seuss and the left-wing cancel culture. The woke mob is at it again, and it seems they never stop. We're losing Aunt Jemima. We're losing Uncle Ben. We're losing that cream of wheat guy and the Land O'Lakes lady. Last week, I told you about Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head and the effort to push them to be gender neutral. Well, now it's Dr. Seuss and his beloved books. They're coming after him. Yesterday was Read Across America Day, a day to celebrate reading. It's also a day to celebrate Dr. Seuss's birthday. He's always been connected with this event, always. But now that legacy of Dr. Seuss has run full steam into the cancel culture. And here's the story. March 2nd marked Read Across America Day, a national recognition of Dr. Seuss's birthday for more than 20 years. Now, a liberal educator group dubbed Learning for Justice is demanding Dr. Seuss's books be stripped from school libraries because of their racial undertones. Districts such as Loudoun County in Virginia have already told its teachers to avoid connecting Read Across America Day with Dr. Seuss. Realizing that many schools continue to celebrate Read Across America Day in partial recognition of Dr. Seuss's birthday, it's important for us to be cognizant of research that may challenge our practice in this regard, Loudoun County Schools said in a statement. As we become more culturally responsive and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years, there has been research revealing radical undertones in the books written and the illustrations drawn by Dr. Seuss. Oh my gosh, can you believe this? And then the whole statement is just so ridiculous. In partial recognition, they're trying to downplay any connection to Dr. Seuss with Read Across America Day, yet it's celebrated on his birthday. He's always been a major part of this celebration. Well, Joe Biden is taking a cue from the cancel culture in his proclamation. Unlike President Trump or even President Obama, he left out any reference to Dr. Seuss in the Read Across America Day proclamation. So, at the White House press briefing with Jen Psaki, who never knows an answer to anything, she was asked about it.
It is National Read Across America Day. It's also Dr. Seuss's birthday. Mm-hmm. Both former Presidents Obama and Trump mentioned Dr. Seuss in their Read Across America Day proclamations, but President Biden did not. Why not?
All right, so just like what happens so many times at the press briefing, Jen Psaki has asked a very straightforward question. Why did Joe Biden leave out any reference to Dr. Seuss? Can she answer the question? Will she answer the question? Here's her response.
Well, first, the proclamation was written by the Department of Education, and you could certainly speak to them about more specifics about the drafting of it. But Read Across America Day, which, as you're right, has not existed forever, has only been around for a short period of time, elevates and celebrates a love of reading among our nation's youngest leaders. And the day is also a chance to celebrate diverse authors whose work and lived experience reflect the diversity of our country.
Wow. Who cares who wrote it? That wasn't the question. The question is, why did Joe Biden leave this out? And this is Joe Biden's press secretary. So she was asked the question again, and here's Jen Psaki, round two.
Well, again, I think it is important that children of all backgrounds see themselves in the children's books that they read. But I would point you to the Department of Education for any more details on the writing of the proclamation.
This is the same old stuff, folks, but the cancel culture, this woke mob, is pushing their agenda and people are getting nervous. Dr. Seuss Enterprises, those that are responsible for publishing the Dr. Seuss books, now say that they're going to stop publishing six different books because of possible racism. And here's the story. Dr. Seuss books, including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran the Zoo, will stop being published because of racist and insensitive imagery, the business that preserves and protects the author's legacy said on Tuesday. Dr. Seuss Enterprises listened and took feedback from our audience, including teachers, academics, and specialists in the field as part of our review process. We then worked with a panel of experts, including educators, to review our catalog titles, the company said. Wow. So it says, according to that statement, that they worked with a lot of left-wing groups, and this is what they came up with. It's absolutely outrageous with Dr. Seuss, and all I have to say is this. The left-wing mob is full of woke. Some people out there think it's a joke, but if they can come for Syrup and Potato Head and Wendy Lou Who, then why stop there? They can come for you. All right, so next, let's talk about what's going on in Texas. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. And when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified. We're making our push for 150,000 subscribers, and we can do it with your help. All right, let's talk about what's going on in Texas, because in many states, you continue these lockdowns in Michigan and California, New York. It's outrageous. There's a recall effort in California because the management is so bad. The governor is so bad. Well, Florida's opening up. Texas is now opening up. Because yesterday, yes, was Dr. Seuss's birthday. It was also Texas Independence Day. And the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, used the occasion to say that Texas will be reopening. It's time to fully reopen Texas. So he gave a press conference and he talked about some of the reasons why, looking at the data, how hospitalizations are at a four-month low, and he added this.
The number of active COVID cases is the lowest since November and is less than half of what it was just a month ago. That means that far more Texans are recovering from COVID than contracting it. Also, today is the lowest positivity rate we've had in 4 months. We have been under 10% positivity rate for days now. Today, we're now under 9% positivity rate in the state of Texas.
So that's kind of the state of the state of Texas. So that data, that was what was used to drive Governor Abbott to say this.
COVID has not like suddenly disappeared. COVID still exists in Texas, in the United States, and across the globe. But it is clear from the recoveries, from the vaccinations, from the reduced hospitalizations, and from the safe practices that Texans are using, that state mandates are no longer needed.
So that's the motivation. And the result is all businesses, regardless of type, will be reopening 100% capacity. And the statewide mask mandate, that's going away too. Gone. All of this takes effect a week from today. And then Governor Abbott talked about what we should have been doing from the very beginning, what I've talked about from the very beginning, rather than lockdowns, personal responsibility.
Removing state mandates does not end personal responsibility or the importance of caring for your family members and caring for your friends and caring for others in your community. Personal vigilance to follow the safe standards is still needed to contain COVID. It's just that now state mandates are no longer needed.
Well, you know where I stand on all this. I've been saying this from the very beginning of COVID. We should have never had the lockdowns. You can't tell the freest people in the world that you are not allowed to work, that you are somehow non-essential, that you have to just live off the government. We've seen the fallout. We've seen the effects, drug use, depression, suicide, people out of work, can't pay bills. It's absolutely outrageous. We shouldn't have done it, but it's nice to see that Texas is reopening. And you can bet if we go through this again with something else, we'll have a much, much different approach. All right. So next, let's talk about what's going on in Arizona, because the left is so fixated on race. It's just, it's all consuming. You see what's going on with Dr. Seuss. Well, now Arizona's education department has put this toolkit together that says even your three-month-old baby could be a racist. And here's the story. The Arizona Department of Education reportedly created an equity toolkit that includes an infographic that shows how racism develops in children as young as 3 months old and recommended readings that suggest that white people are ignorant, colorblind, and racist, Discovery Institute scholar Christopher Rufo reported. The toolkit shows a spectrum of children from birth to ages over six with the title, They're Not Too Young to Talk About Race. It cites a study that shows at birth, Babies look equally at faces of all races. At 3 months, babies look more at faces that match the race of their caregivers. Wow. Did you hear that? So at 3 months old, babies recognize skin tone of those they are most around. That is groundbreaking research, folks. That is cutting edge right there. I bet no one knew that at all. Yet the left equates that with a racist baby. It's absolutely unreal. And here's more. Specifically, white parents are urged to address anti-racism with their children before they can even speak, or their children will learn racism from the world around them. A document entitled How White Parents Can Talk to Their Kids About Race explains. Parents are encouraged to demonstrate anti-racist attitudes with children within months of their birth. A document that is part of the toolkit cites a book by Beverly Daniel Tatum that says there are only three ways to be white: ignorant, colorblind, and racist. Because these options may prevent people from wanting to identify as white, there need to be an anti-racist white identity. Oh my gosh, this is absolutely insane. Everyone teaches their kids not to be racist. But again, the left is so fixated on this, and now you better watch out. Your three-month-old baby could be a racist. All right, now let's talk about Andrew Cuomo, because as the days go on, it just gets worse and worse and worse. He has his COVID nursing home cover-up. We know that. That's what got everything going as far as this anti-Cuomo sentiment. But then the people started coming out with these allegations of sexual harassment. We had Lindsay Boylan. She was the first, a Cuomo aide, accusing him of all kinds of stuff. Then over the weekend, the story broke, I reported on Monday, of Charlotte Bennett, another aide, saying that Cuomo harassed her as well. Now, a third person has stepped forward, and here's the story. Neither Cuomo nor his spokespeople have commented on the latest allegation made against him Monday night. A woman told the New York Times that Cuomo touched her lower back, then grabbed her cheeks and asked to kiss her at a September 2019 wedding. As of midday Tuesday, at least one Democratic congressmember from Long Island, U.S. Representative Kathleen Rice, four state senators, several left-leaning assembly members, and the leaders of the Progressive Working Families Party say they have already heard enough and that Cuomo should resign. Some suggested he be impeached. All right, but that's not all. This is growing, it's building, it's gaining momentum. But you also have the growing fallout from the COVID nursing home cover-up. That's still going on, and here's more. The governor is also facing criticism for withholding for months a full accounting of the number of nursing home residents who died of COVID-19. The leaders of the state assembly and Senate, both controlled by Democrats, announced Tuesday the legislature will pass legislation to limit emergency powers related to the pandemic that they granted Cuomo last spring. Cuomo's existing COVID-19 mandates would remain in place, but he wouldn't be able to extend or tweak them without responding to questions from lawmakers. Under a bill outlined by Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie. So that's what's going on. That's what's going on with Cuomo. It keeps getting worse and worse. But here's the deal. Will he be impeached? Will he resign? Or will this just blow over? Remember, this is a guy that was given an Emmy for COVID leadership. An Emmy. It just shows you how bogus the left is in their little bubble, rewarding each other, patting each other on the back, when the management in these states and Cuomo in general is just absolutely pathetic. Folks, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you next time. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, thanks so much for watching, and before you go, please hit that subscribe button, hit that bell so you'll be notified, and here's a special video just for you so you can watch even more of the 13-Minute News Hour, and don't forget to check out GOPUSA.com for the best in conservative news and commentary. We'll see you next time.